It's our pleasure to welcome in Dr. Gerard Verschuren. He is a scientist, a writer, speaker, and really working at that crossroads of science and philosophy and religion. And you have a new book out and called In the Beginning from Sophia Institute. And, you know, I'm reading these questions and I'm like, okay, I'm hoping that this guy can really break this down for me, because first of all, that intersection of science and philosophy and religion is so broad and so deep. You know, I need all the help I can get to understand what we're talking about when these become issues in life. Good morning.
Good morning, Jean.
So good to
hear from you.
Well, good
thank
to hear
from you. Thank you for having me on your show.
Well, thank you. I'm so glad you could join us. And so, you know, let's go back to the beginning, shall we? Why is the universe so old and so vast?
Yes, it is old and vast. When we talk about old, they say that the Big Bang was almost 14 billion years ago. That is very hard for us to imagine. That number is so huge that we have no idea. So I always like to compare it with, if it were the beginning of a day or the beginning of a year, then the Big Bang would be at midnight of the beginning of the day. And if you go by years, it would be on January 1st. And planet Earth, that's what my book is also about, mm-hmm. Would be 4.5 billion years ago. That is 4:17 in the morning. So it took almost 4 hours on our daily calendar to get the Earth done. And then life is later, and the dinosaurs are later, and humanity is only 80,000 years, so that is nothing. So, in other words, it's very old. Why is everything so old? Because all the elements we need for life, and on planet Earth, we depend on those elements. We have some 92 of them. They come out of stars. Stars are the furnaces where all the elements are created, not in the sense of created by God, but they are done by physical, chemical laws. So in order to get all those elements, we need to wait for those stars to explode as supernovas. And at that time, those elements come free, and we need those elements. That's why the universe has to be so old. Then you asked, why is the universe so big? Because from the Big Bang on, things stretched, the universe stretched, and things are getting way out. That is the Einsteinian gravity law. So it has grown to a size of 14 billion light years. That's very fast.
Mm-hmm. How does any human, well, scientists probably get it, but it's like 14 billion light years. Yeah, you just can't even fathom that.
No. We talk about a billion nowadays in the money market, and in the government, but still, it is an enormous amount of years. So it is a vast universe. And in that huge universe, there is this tiny speck of dust called planet Earth. Mm. And that's where we live on. And then the question is, of course, is that all a matter of cosmic accident? Is it random events? Or is there more to it?
Well, atheists would say it's all just random. But,
You
know, and Christians and Catholic Christians, you know, believe that this is all a part of the divine design. You know, how is this all ordered that it fits the theistic worldview?
It's obviously I am a dedicated Catholic, so I have no doubts that all of this is only possible if there is a creator. You know, some scientists, they don't want to hear that. So they say it is all accident, it's all random, and then they come up with a huge invention. I always laugh about it, but it's the statistical law of large numbers. You know, when if you ever gambled in a casino or whatever, you think that if you keep doing it and doing it and doing it, you will win someday. I have news for you. Those chances are very small. So we have something similar in science. Scientists are going to use that law because they think that is much more reliable than God. But how can you have a universe with laws of nature, like the law of gravity and all of that, if those laws didn't come from a lawgiver, God?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you have heard of Stephen Hawking. He died not too long ago. He was a famous cosmologist. He had some discussion with the Vatican on these issues. And at one point he said, we don't need a creator because the law of gravity explains everything. Well, where does that law of gravity come from? Is that part of creation? Of course it is. Without a creator, we wouldn't have those laws. So all of that happens because we are created. And God is somehow the one who made the world for us, the universe for us, and now we can say our Earth is designed to be our home. There are so many coincidences there, but having so many coincidences can't be mere coincidence, I always say. To have so many conditions coincidental, that can't be coincidental. So God's laws take care of it. Of course, there is more to it. But to a scientist, I would say those laws come from somewhere. And if you deny that, then you are denying a huge part of why you can do science. Does that make sense?
Yes, and you can tell, I can tell by the tone in your voice that there's a passion and a deep respect and love for, you know, what you have, you know, given your life to. Where does that come from?
As a scientist in the beginning, when you study science, you get indoctrinated, I always call it. So you think, indeed, that it's all a matter of accident and randomness. But gradually, the more you think about it, and I did get that a little bit through philosophy, but mostly through religion, I came to realize that there must be much more to it. And all the scientists who are blind for that dimension of life, I can't say it's pitiful, but I think, oh, what a pity still that they don't realize that there must be more to it. That how can they do science if God didn't give us our mind? And then they say, of course, oh, that's all a matter of the brain. But if the brain is just an organ that secretes hormones like insulin or something like that, that is very strange. If you claim that, then all you claim in your science is worth nothing. It's worth as much as the molecules you think that explain everything. And molecules are not worth much. They eventually disappear.
Okay, so how can the scientists just not get that?
How can a scientist?
Yeah, I mean, don't you want to just slap them and say, come on, guys, this isn't that hard. It has to be a bigger purpose than...
The way I slap them is by writing books like In the Beginning.
Well, what a great
that
segue.
That book slaps them in a way. If they read it, then they will say, phew, that forces me to think a little deeper than I learned in college or university or whatever. It's not slapping in the sense you mean it, probably. But that's the best I can do.
Yeah. Well, and what scientist doesn't want to be challenged to look deeper? I mean, it's kind of the nature of what you do, is always looking
right.
Deeper.
They think they are little gods, you know, like medical doctors. They think they can tell you exactly when you are going to die. And I find that an arrogance that is based on not much, but that's how they have been indoctrinated. You are the big scientist, like the people. I always think of the Manhattan Project. Maybe you heard of that. That's where the atomic bomb was mm-hmm. developed. Those nuclear scientists, they thought they knew everything. If they could handle nuclear science, then they could even be their own doctors. So they didn't ever go to a doctor. They just a physician. I mean,
mm-hmm.
They borrowed a book, and then they read how they could cure themselves. That's the arrogance a lot of scientists have. I always think you will wake up when you get older, and definitely you will wake up when you die, or you will wake up somewhere else.
Well, I want to thank you so much for joining us today, Dr. Gerard Verschuren. He has a book called In the Beginning. It's available through SophiaInstitute.com. You can also ask at Divine Treasures. If they don't have it, they can get it for you. We thank you so much for really challenging us to look at things from the beginning. So, Dr. Gerard, thank you for joining us today. God bless.
Thank you for having me on your show. God bless you.